Team GB's Elise Christie is clutching her Visa contactless card, about to take on the 10-metre hot drink dash.
This pair are faster than a jet plane through zero gravity, Jeff. Whoosh!
They certainly are well matched. Elise is a triple world champion, and Visa contactless is rapid too. What a great team.
They've done it! Have you ever seen a coffee paid for quicker than that? Wonderful!
You need a latte fix quick? We help you pay in record time. Visa, proud sponsors of the Winter Olympics Pyeongchang 2018. Subject to bank T's and C's.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me, as usual, on this lovely Tuesday afternoon is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Bean.
How's it going?
So good, man. So good. I love a Tuesday, and tomorrow we're going to Boston.
I know. Can you believe we're 2 days out from our big Boston show, our first of two Boston shows? We are going to be covering Vanderpump Rules on our Thursday Boston show, which means we will not be recapping it today. We're saving it for the live show. So, by the way, watchacrappens.com to buy tickets for that show in Boston, if tickets are still available. We decided that since Vanderpump Rules is being moved to Thursday this week, we have a gap on Tuesday. So why not put Married to Medicine on our Tuesday show this week instead of the bonus episode? So here we are today to talk some Married to Medicine. So before we start today's glorious recap of Married to Medicine, Ronnie and I have some news. It's our year. 2018 is the year of Watch What Crappens, darling.
A year of crappens.
A year of crappens. So obviously we are coming to you guys every day being like, buy tickets to our Boston show or whatever. And some people have been like, hello, you keep on talking about these shows on the East Coast. When are you coming back to the West Coast? Well, guess what? We have a new West Coast show. April 15th at the Improv in Irvine, California. That's in Orange County, California. Home of Vicky Kelly and all our favorite friends down there. Batch. We're doing a show. April 15th at the Improv in Irvine. Tickets are so actually exciting. Already on sale. Very exciting. Go to watchacrappens.com to buy those tickets for our show in Irvine. That's going to be awesome. On our home turf, we don't have to take a plane somewhere.
Yes, I'm so excited to be there, Irvine, California.
Yeah.
If you guys want tickets, just go find that ticket link over at watchwhatcrappens.com. All our links for all of our upcoming shows and the schedule and everything is there. And so is the link to merch. So go buy some.
Yeah. Hey, let's go on to Married to Medicine now, shall we?
Yeah, heck yeah. Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Let's be crazy. Let's talk about all the craziness happening in Atlanta with these crazy doctors and their wives.
Yes. Now, we love this show, but even though it's been relegated to the bonus episode, we love it, okay? We stayed watching this show. We've been covering it since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice, even though we do this every week, it's nice to give it a full recap on the main show.
Yeah, it is.
Especially week, because it's the continuation of the 90s party.
Yeah.
And it's so dramatic that we don't even get the opening. They're just like, Married to Medicine.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, let's get back into it. What will happen? Because last week, essentially, they all got drunk on Alize. And Simone was like, now, Mariah, you have to admit, you were throwing shade at Heavenly. And Mariah's like, no, absolutely not. It was like when I gave that faux award and basically said, this is the award for being the most non-like Heavenly. That was really not directed towards Heavenly at all.
Yeah. And then Heavenly's like, yo mama hit someone upside the head with a purse. But she said yo mama, so that's Mariah's cue. Mariah, who's always looking for a reason to just jump up and try and beat somebody up so she can get a place back on the show, which is never going to happen. She jumps up and it's like, hold me back. Hold me back. She's like, it wasn't you, though. it wasn't you that my mama tried to hit in the head with the purse. It wasn't you. Like, that's her big argument.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and so Lucy like, didn't...
Daddy, 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 play me, talk, nigga. I'm like, whoa.
So I much for Cory. So
yeah, Damon meanwhile is like probably like, I don't know what to do. My theory about the women fighting near bodies of water seems to be unraveling before my eyes. I'm just beside myself, can't you tell, with my emotion?
And Tori's like, cheap booze. Cheap booze. This is what cheap booze do.
What she should have did was get some Cristal. But she got some Alizé.
And Heavenly's, you know, kind of sitting down, freaking out, like pretending that she's going to cry because she, you know, wasn't her holy self as she's trying to be. Mm-hmm. And Mariah's like, you just don't know how to take it when a cute chick is nice.
Yeah.
Now, we just watched Atlanta, and I think Mariah has the same illness that Nene does, where she can never fight about what's really there, and she can never, ever admit one single thing that she's done wrong.
Yeah. Also, who is the cute bitch being nice to Heavenly? Because I didn't see anyone cute. I didn't see anyone being nice.
No kidding. Is there a cater waiter that didn't make it on camera?
I know. Are you talking about the grip? Is the grip, like, particularly attractive and friendly? Because I don't see anyone on this cast that's really fitting those bills. Sorry.
A grip.
Jackie pulls Heavenly away. Is like, all right, Heavenly, you just got to calm down. And Heavenly's like, I'm trying, Dr. Jackie, I'm trying, but I don't know if I can, Daddy.
And Jackie's like, well, Heavenly is working. She's working towards it, but she stumbled, as one would during a course that you might run with different stumbling blocks. If you were a part of the Fit New It, Fit is the new It, which you should be if you care about your body as much as I care about Miss Heavenly. Now, Heavenly, are you going to church tomorrow? And Heavenly's like, oh, yeah, I need to go, don't I? I'm going to church. Praise the Lord.
So meanwhile, Mariah is still screaming, and she's screaming that she wasn't being shady. And Simone doesn't have a dog in this race. I don't know why she's doing this. Maybe she's just because she's drunk and wants to make TV. But she's like, Mariah, you're not owning your shade. You have to own your shade, Mariah. Mariah. I was like, oh my God, Simone.
In New Orleans, you said you forgave us, but what about us getting an apology from you? It's like, whoa.
And Cecil's Simone. Just like, oh my God. Why was I even complaining that we have two houses? Like, send her to the North House, I'll be at the South House. Everything's cool.
Cecil's like, you know what we need? We need a group of neighborhood children to come in and fix this.
I'm going to spend $25,000 on some child labor law violations. So so Toya takes Mariah to the bathroom to calm her down. And even Toya's like,
no, Mariah, you have to admit, it was a dig. What you should have did was just said, Heavenly, you're a hoe. That's what you should have did. Okay? Love this out, Lisa. Oh.
And Mariah's like, I do not dig like that. I come for the juggler. Oh, and also Mariah was saying, every time I try with these girls, they come and they take a portion. It's, you know, it's like, I like that in her mind. It's she's just trying to have a nice meal, and then someone's like taking the potatoes off of her plate.
Leave it to Mariah to think that the whole buffet belongs to her.
They put out chafers for me. They it's put like out a cloche. And what do? They take from all of them.
It's like if you went to the Golden Corral and it started yelling at you. It's like, why are you taking a portion? Why? This is all my mac and cheese. How dare you?
It's like when you order takeout and you get... and the restaurant gives you like four place settings. You're like, no, it's just for me. I'm Mariah. No one's taking a portion of this. It's all for me. Stop with your silent judgment, restaurant.
So funny.
So then a thunderstorm comes around, and basically it's like, okay, everyone go.
And Simone goes, well, I didn't intend for this to be a blowout between between Mariah and Heavenly. And Eugene goes, you're the one who started that shit. And she goes, but I didn't mean to. It's about motherfucking intent. So funny. So yeah, the storm comes in and Tori's like, we all gonna die. And Contessa's like, listen.
Two by two, everyone. Two by two.
Well, I did say I was going to go back to church, Daddy.
Daddy, it's too early. Just don't wash us away, Daddy, with our sins. I promise I'm trying to be better. I'm trying not to curse as much. But if you flood us out right now, knowing your mama, oh, there I go again.
Contessa's like the worst Noah ever. She's like, two by two, get the fuck off my boat.
Yeah. She doesn't want these beasts inside her house. Because it's raining, yeah. And like normally most hosts would be like, okay, everyone come inside. She's like, it's raining, everyone just leave. Just leave. I'm going to go hang out with Lubega right now, a.k.a. my husband.
So they do the regular opening now that the party's over, where it's like, party papa in my groove, bang this shorty pretty smooth. It's like
was
some
that
party
lyric?
Song.
Oh,
it's like, yeah. It's like party, party all day long, party, 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 party. And then it's Jackie getting stretched by a trainer. Yeah. Like, yeah, party. She's like, well, I'm glad that I don't have gas or farts that are wanting to come out. I'm like,
Meanwhile, over in Quad's house, her trash can is full. She's like, this is the damn trash from the other day, baby. I'm like, that's fascinating.
This trash is full, baby.
What's the point of having a full garbage can? It's like having a potato salad in the middle of a train station.
Moran's like, do not take my portion of potato salad. And then we go over to Toya's house, and she's like, hey, will Bobby talking to you? What are you supposed to do? And he's like, say something. She goes, no, you're supposed to listen, which was hilarious.
Yeah. Explains a lot about Toya's life, by the way.
Yes.
How it's getting passed on to the next generation.
Yes. And then, you're learning. You're paying attention to your mother for sure. Yeah. And then it intercuts over to Heavenly's house, and the music is still going. And it's like, let's get in the air and take off. Get in the air and take off. And then it's Heavenly microwaving a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Like, and Damon's like, what are you up to, baby? She's like, Daddy, I'm just having some coffee, and then I'm going to do work out a little bit with my little weight. He's like, this isn't enough to make you stronger. If you do 400 of them, Daddy, you get real strong, Daddy.
He goes, men like a little jiggle, don't they, Daddy? Don't they, Daddy? And he's like, well, especially those of us with a darker hue to our skin. And then there's just a long pause, and Heavenly's just looking straight at him. It's just like this really long pause, and he goes, Maybe other colors of skin, too. I don't know. It's like, well, thanks for chiming in, weirdo. So then Heavenly goes into her little girl thing. She's like, how was I at the party, Daddy? Oh, you know I made mistakes, but I pray to Jesus every day that I can be a better person, Daddy. He's like, well, look, reacting is reacting, but sometimes you can be harsh. Look at me. I was ready for a storm. I went to that party in a Gilligan hat. They cut to him in a Gilligan hat.
She's like,
I very rarely see you get angry, Daddy. You're just sort of like monotone and boring and don't say anything. I sort of thought you were a big tiki sculpture, really, when I married you.
He's like, I'm not monotone.
Okay, like Jackie then.
He's like, okay, I'm like Jackie.
Well, Daddy, I'm on my spiritual journey, and I should be better, but I'm never going to be perfect, Daddy. Now, I'll try better, Daddy, okay? Now, I promise now. Thank you for talking to me, Daddy. Now, I'm going to make dinner, okay? Now, go draw a bath, baby. Take your clothes off. Nope, nothing like that going down now. You're going to have to do like Eugene, Daddy.
He's like, okay. So... We then go over to Contessa's house, where Contessa and Dr. Scott are hanging out, and basically Contessa's like, so let's talk about the elephant in the room. Like, oh my god, we just watched Atlanta. Why the elephants?
You know, Barnum and Bailey even went out of business because people were so sick of watching elephant torture. Okay, so learn from Barnum.
Yeah, let's...
And Bailey.
The elephant in the room is that the elephant in the room is being... abused, and we're talking about the expression, not an actual elephant.
Yes. So Contessa's like, well, you know, the 90s party was a cool idea, but then everyone had these like micro cat fights all over the place. And her husband, Dr. Scott, is like, you know what, you don't gotta yell all the time, okay? Sometimes the stuff is going down around you, just let it go down. And she's like, excuse me, I put up a tent.
So then they start talking about Miss Renee, and Contessa is just befuddled by Miss Renee's behavior, and she's like, you know, after 10 years, it's never been contentious between Miss Renee and me. I mean, even when she's quote-unquote fired or when she quits, it's never contentious. I'm like, that's the definition of contentiousness. Contention. Yeah. Whatever. Being fired, that doesn't happen when you're, like, chuckling over some tea.
Yeah. You're like, ha-ha, thanks for raising my children, you're fired. Oh,
And how many times does someone have to get fired or quit before you decide that maybe it's time to rethink your personnel decisions?
Yeah, get rid of her.
Yeah, and they're like,
and the doctor's like, you're the queen of this castle, so don't let people throw forks at your head. Yeah. She's like, that's going to take some elephant thinking. Okay,
it's been elephant apparently thought. Apparently it's been a week without Miss Renee, and Contessa's like, I just want her to know that she has to respect me, and that I'm the queen of this castle. And he's like, yeah, you're the queen of this castle. I'm like, wait a second, how is it even conceivable that Miss Renee is still in the picture, that like that she would even be, that you'd entertain the thought of her coming back? How, like, she's gone, she's done, she doesn't come back.
I think a fork to the head is an auto fire, personally.
Yeah, I think it's like a for real fire, not a non-contentious firing.
Yeah. So I think everyone's in agreement on that, and I'm interested to see what Twitter has been saying to Miss Renee, because, you know, it has to be terrible. People must be coming for her left and right.
Yeah.
So lunch, Mariah and Simone. Okay, now this is the battle of the low voices.
Yes,
it's like, who can prove that we're not going to yell more by using voices that basically say we're yelling quietly at each other.
It's bedside manner voice, also known as beachside group therapy voice. You know, even Simone's doing it to the host. She's like, yes, I would like a table over there. And also, how about I will be you, you will be me, and we can talk about our issues with each other, host at the Palm.
Like, now, may I show you to your table? They're like, ma'am, just go over there.
I'm tired of bringing a bread basket over all the time. Ma'am, I have other tables I have to deal with.
She's like, hello, Mariah. My name is Simone, and I will be taking care of you today. Like, just sit down, Simone. Sit down.
Are you doing role play with the waiter again?
Man, yes. I want some role play. You know what I mean? Give me some bread. So Mariah's like, well, I'm under the weather, okay? My sinus is draining. And Simone's like, well, then you shouldn't have let me kiss you when I came to the table as a hostess, because now you have given a disease to someone who will spread it amongst the restaurant community. Do you understand? Like, just sit down, like, Simone.
I don't understand. Are you speaking on behalf of Simone or the host still? Is there anything I can do for you? Would you like a drink to start? Oh, okay.
Oh, so we're going to tap water now. Is that what you're saying to me, Mariah? Tap water instead of the extra dollar for a healthy bottle of water?
Sparkling or still, Mariah? Still what? Yes, I am still very upset. No, still water. Girl, I could be sparkling and still mad. No, we're talking about the type of water you're going to have.
Now, this is my favorite thing they do on every Housewives show, where they excuse everything with the old, well, I called Mariah because we all make mistakes in life. It's like, I'm not perfect. It's my favorite thing. It's like, you can murder someone. Well, no one's perfect. I'll still go to heaven.
But it sort of sounds like she said, like, I called Mariah because I just made a huge mistake in calling her, but no one's perfect. I called her, well, because, you know, hey, I made mistakes. So, like, well, my mistakes being that I called Mariah. So
my mistake is now in my call history.
So the very first thing, of course, is, you know, Mariah says something about the party, and someone's like, oh, we're not even doing any small talk. And Mariah's like, no, absolutely not. It's kind of the elephant in the room. I'm like, oh, my God. Second scene, yeah.
Yeah. You say, I don't own shit. What don't I own? When my elephant shits, I say, that's my elephant shit. So what are you trying to say? And Simone's like, now, in New Orleans, you spoke on forgiving us, but you didn't speak on wanting our forgiveness. And this is my favorite. Like, I love when Simone preaches, but I love even more when she's either yell preaching or whisper preaching.
Yeah.
And this whisper preaching is hilarious because Mariah's like, what for?
Yeah.
Like, who can be quieter? Well, now, Mariah, you talk about every one of us behind our backs. And she's like, never.
Yeah.
She's like, classic, am I sipping loudly?
Yeah, I mean, Mariah's problem, as Simone mentions, is that Mariah just never owns anything for years and years and years. You know, sometimes Mariah has a point, but she just never owns her part of it, or she does a fake owning it, where she says, you know, I understand what I did was wrong. I've acted immaturely in the past. I just want to move forward. It's like a blanket ownership, as opposed to, no, like, there are specific things that you still haven't owned. And this is what Simone is saying. Simone's basically like, Mariah, I want some peanuts. I'm role-playing the elephant now. Okay, now you go. No, so, but the thing is this, though. I think the fact that we are now in season 5 or 6 of the show, and it's the same argument with Mariah. I mean, you know, people talk about the Vicky, Shannon, Tamara thing going on too long. This has been going on since season 2. Like, we need to move on. Mariah, we need to move on, but also Simone. Everyone, stop asking for forgiveness. Stop asking her to be accountable. We cannot keep spinning our wheels in this Mariah feud. It's been going on for years, and it's not getting any more interesting.
Well, at least in those other feuds you mentioned, they actually talk it out and, like, fight about it. This one, Mariah will say, okay, I forgive you. And then the next second be like, I give an award to someone who hasn't been mean to my mother. Oh, yeah. When she was in the bathroom talking to Tori at that party, she goes, I can't even give a goddamn award without these ladies attacking me.
Why are you giving awards? That's another thing.
Why are you giving people Oscars?
Yeah.
First of all, like, a delusional. But she never takes responsibility. And
she doesn't.
Simone, she's like, well, don't you remember me apologizing? And they show a clip of Mariah saying, well, I have forgiven everyone, and I hope that everyone has forgiven me as well, which is not an apology.
That's not an apology. Yeah.
And so she's like, you want me to own it, but I don't even know what I'm supposed to own.
It's called look at the DVDs of your seasons 1 through 5. Look at everything you did. Just own that. And by the way, when we say look at those DVDs, by owning those DVDs, that does not count as owning it. Okay. All right. That's not what we're talking about. It means go look at your behavior, everything you did, because almost everything you've done has been wrong. That's what you have to own.
Yes. So stupid, stupid Mariah. She still won't admit anything, and she still has nothing new to fight about because no one will shoot with her wisely because she's just going to try and ruin their lives for no reason. And so she's like, well, Heavenly recanted the entire apology at that pool party because she brought mama stuff up again. I'm like, well, you brought your mom up first, and she was just saying that the mom hit somebody in the head. I mean, I don't really think it was that big of a deal.
And also, stop being so self-involved to think that anytime someone says yo mama that they are specifically referencing Lucy, okay? It's just kind of like a phrase, although it's funny that Simone's like, I don't know why Heavenly always goes to the yo mama place. I don't know why. But
also, like, Lucy's not just some passive mom that's being abused. She's an abusive, mean monster of a woman.
She is a mean lady.
And she's come for other people. And being a mother does not give you the excuse to just be an asshole to everybody else in the world.
I just wish Mariah could get her shit together because she is so entertaining. And she gets into hilarious fights. And she has the funniest things to say in her interviews. But she always falls back into this woe is me thing, acting like I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't being shady. I'm the victim here. No one came to see me in the hospital when I had a cough. You know, it's like, it's getting old.
Yeah, I don't find her entertaining at all anymore. I think she's just thirsty, desperate, and sad. So I want her gone.
Speaking
of literal thirst, Jackie's like, how do I turn on a faucet without a man here to do it? She's like flicking. She's in her PJs trying to figure out why the light won't flick on.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Curtis is here and he's got a paint job on his new old life crisis car.
He's got another vintage car that he's showing up in. And it's so midlife crisis-y, it hurts. So I decided to look up a little bit about Curtis Berry, to find out, like, why he has these cars. Okay, now I hate being the person that's like, you're a gym teacher, you shouldn't be able to afford these cars, because who knows how he saved his money and invested, and who knows what sort of salary he has. It's totally feasible, theoretically. But I looked it up, and unsurprisingly, I guess we probably should have known this based on literally his appearance, he was a former NBA player. He was in the 1981 draft, and I couldn't figure out how many years he played in the NBA, but I guess maybe if he played for at least 10 years, he probably had some money that he may have invested. So maybe he can afford those. I mean, obviously he can because he bought them, or he has them. He's driving them around. Although on Bravo, that doesn't mean anything. But our previous shade about, like, how can a gym teacher afford these vintage cars may not be as strong as it was. But I still maintain that it's full-on midlife crisis bullshit, and he's got to get his act together.
Yes. And he knows it. Like, look, if in any relationship like this, when you see groveling to this degree, you know where that money's coming from. Sorry, yeah. Truth. But that's he's true. Like, look, I brought some food and some grocery store roses. And yeah. She's like, not diamonds and pearls. And he's like, ho, that's coming. You got the paperweight, right? Did you get the paperweight? She's like, I have allowed Curtis back. I have seen a remorseful husband who upgraded to packaged artisan lettuce. That's good enough for me.
She's just happy that there's someone to change the light bulb. And yes. Poor, I mean, Jackie is not really having a great moment for feminism right now because she's like, well, I need you to change the light bulb, which at first I like because she's like, fine, if you want to grovel, I'm putting you to work. And then he like goes into a closet and comes out with a step stool. And she's like, where did you find that? He's like, it is right here in the garage. It's like, come on, Jackie. You have to be a little bit more resourceful. Like, you flick the light thing three times. You're like, help me, please help me. Just look in your garage.
And she just keeps saying things like, well, now the light works. But does it fix the embarrassment that is being lit upon me or whatever? And he's like, look, I hope that there's light at the end of the tunnel and not a dark light. What?
not a light that I have to change.
A dark light. He's like, I hope that no one is trying to make pictures happen at the end of that time.
I hope there's not a teenager there who has put some pine cones and leaves on special paper and needs to develop it in a photo negative sort of way. And I don't want to walk in and overexpose them. Did you see my new car?
And Jackie's like, the truth is, I miss him. In marriage, you become one. On the bright side, I too got some youthful booty through Curtis. So here we are. And she's like, well, thank you for the lettuce and the bulb. But I need to get back to charting now. And he's like, okay, I'll leave. But don't forget to lock the door, idiot.
I'll be back next week with another waste of my money on another car.
He's like, okay, get back to charting and not checking our Chase account. Okay.
When you said on the bright side, did you mean like there was a bright light or was that the dark light situation?
He's like, whoa, it's dark light outside. She's like, that's just called dark, Curtis. So the song taking us into the next scene is I'm free. I'm free every single day of the week. And it's Contessa at work.
Yeah.
Or no, it's Simone at work.
No, Simone. She's seeing Henrietta, who is the little person who is here for her first pap smear, I forgot. But once again, we are not experts with the female reproductive system and anything that is related to it.
Popcorn, pop smear, pop.
Henrietta's here for her first taste of popcorn. And Simone's like,
are you terrified of popcorn?
Yes, I am. I don't know what to do.
And so Simone's like, okay, it's not going to hurt at all. Relax. 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 I'm like, Simone, I'm nervous now.
No kidding. I mean, the music on this show today has been almost hilariously misguided. But I did love the music cue for the pap smear. Because they're like, now Henrietta gets a pap smear. And it's like violins. It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Your pap smear is done. And then it's like, women are free! What is happening in the music department? Please never change it.
You know, the best type of music for a pap smear is a good old calypso music. Get it? No. Sorry, I tried to turn caliper and calypso into a pun, and I'm ashamed of myself.
Calliope, Calliope, Callista Flockhart, Pap Smear.
I was saying Pap Smear. You know what it is? Because it's and it's supposed to be Pap Smear. It's, I think, because in The Naked Gun, there is a villain named, I forget his first name, but his last name is Pap Smear. And so I think I've always said Pap Smear like Pap Smear because of The Naked Gun. I'm going to blame The Naked Gun.
Now, have you ever had a smear? She's like, of course I have. My work here is done. It's like, wait a minute. That woman just put salmon and cream cheese on the little person's twat, okay? You did it wrong, Simone.
This has gone to a terrible place. So now we're with Heavenly and Allura. And they're going to a music studio, and they meet up with Jan Smith. Did you recognize Jan Smith, Ronnie?
No, I didn't, but I loved her voice.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Jan Smith was the vocal coach for none other than Kim Zolciak.
Oh my God, I can't believe that Heavenly didn't bring that up, because she's like,
Allura is on a journey to fame, and this lady has had everybody.
And then she starts naming all these people. Who were the people?
Ludacris.
Kim Zolciak.
Like, why wasn't...
Sierra, Luther, Michael, Bob.
It's like she's just reading off a key ring chain. yeah, she's just at this point.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, Thomas. It.
Gloria. Daryl.
Don. Daniel. Daddy! World's best daddy!
So, I love that Heavenly does that really lazy stage mother thing. Her first question is,
now, how do we expedite this process?
And Jan Smith is like, listen, just think of it like having a baby. You can't rush having a baby, right? Unless you're Phaedra Park. She did one in 3 months, right? According to her. Look at my shirt. You can't rush this shirt, right? These cutouts aren't made overnight, right?
It's like, now, child, lay on the floor. And she's like, rah! And she does. And she's like, now, breathe deep. And Heavenly's like,
breathing? I don't know if Ludacris did this. I'm not so sure that Ludacris did this, but Daddy, she's going to sing the best way she can.
Now, why would you put your...
You know, Heavenly sometimes starts up, like, real high. It's like, why'd you do that to my Lord? Why'd you do that to my Lord? But she's going to do it well, Daddy.
So the teacher's like, sing this note. Ding. And Allura's like, da, ah, ah. And she's like, great. Now, sing the highest note you can. And she's like, bah. And they make it look like the whole city's imploding in on itself. Yeah. Evil.
So, Kim Zolciak's Atari purse starts to light up. So afterwards.
She's like, Lassie.
So after
someone fell down a whale.
Yeah, Kim Zolciak's purse is telling her where there's a fire. So Heavenly's like, so what? My baby can't hit every note, but that's what auto-tunes is for. So Jan Smith is like, well, I think that she's got potential. Is that check gonna clear? Okay, great. We'll see her on Wednesday.
Yes.
And then she goes in for this awkward fist pump with Heavenly. She's like, I think that she's gonna be a big star. Here we go. Slow fist bump. Here we go. All right, now, Heavenly. Hit the
bring it in now. All right, say bye to those platinum records on your way out. They'll give you a lollipop.
Yeah. There's Cece Peniston. Worked with her.
So now, Simone's North House. Cecil is sitting there in a kid patrol. Or a Kids Force
with a Z. Kids Force.
He's like the sad Kyle Richards of this show. He's like, look. It's Kids for Us on my shirt. I'm like, I don't know. Illegal app.
He's like, we really want to just incorporate this company. Just, you know, it's like Kids Incorporated, you know?
So she comes home and he's made her a margarita. And he's like, now, I know this app is a sore subject for us, which is why I'm wearing the t-shirt and having the page open as you enter from work one time a week. And she's like, yeah. Yes, because you took $25,000 out of a joint account. And we don't do that. We don't do that, Cecil. We don't do that.
Would you like any sides with your steak? I'm sorry, I'm still in role reversal from lunch.
Have you had
a pap smear?
What you did was take out a portion, Cecil. Okay? You took out a portion. And he's like, yeah, but when you thought that money was for hoes, you know, that hurt my feelings because it's for a business called Kids Force. And she's like, and that money bought what percentage of a business? And he's like, 16%. She goes, sorry to be the Bugs Bunny, or the Bugs Bunny of the scene, but that's all, folks. Yeah. What if Bugs Bunny really ended like that? He's like, meh. That's all, folks.
Bugs Bunny invests in a terrible app that fails on Shark Tank.
That gets sued by the government over child labor laws.
Yeah. I think, well, maybe Bugs Bunny will wind up just with a TaskRabbit. Get it? Dun-dun-dun. I still don't understand the point of this
task
app.
Baby.
Yeah, task baby. Honestly, I think it's a terrible idea. I mean, I understand theoretically why a suburban dad would think it's a cool idea. Being like, what if there was an app? Like, what if, you know, you never know what kid's going to come over and mow your lawn because the kids are always getting older. What if there was an app and the kids can come over and you pay their kids through the app? It's like, I get it. Sort of seems like a good idea. It's a terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Regular entrepreneur children do not need your app. My niece has a lemonade stand that she makes hundreds of dollars from, and she donates it all to a local dog charity because she's still very young and innocent and sweet and hasn't learned that you got to save those coins for when you want to stop taking your mother's shit and move away from home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen these kids make money. She ain't going to sign up on an app and give you a percentage for doing nothing in your house after stealing money from your wife.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not, Gregory. So, so basically he's like, yeah, I made a mistake. And she's like, all I want is a conversation, Cecil, before you take $25,000 out of the bank account. By the way, bought another house. Anyway.
Yeah, bought a Jag or whatever. And she says, in the future, next, I get to choose the next app. And he goes, as long as it's not shoes. And she's like, now how about a shoe store? And he's like, I got an idea for a shoe store run by children. And she's like, oh.
It's like, I'm pretty sure that Nike uses kids to make their shoes, right? Call back to a scandal from 1999, everyone. So we then go to Contessa at the office, and she's like, patience, you know, as in, like, she's seeing lots of patients, like Contessa being a doctor, primary care. There's one lady who has a pageboy haircut, which I really liked a lot. And then she gets a call from Scott, because I guess he was going to pick up the kids, because they had a plan that, like, some days she was going to leave work early, and some days he was going to leave work early, and they're going to pick up the kids from school. So he calls up, and he's like, I'm stuck at the office, and she's like, I'm stuck at the office, too. And then it was some weird thing where he's like, I had to run out to get the kids, and they didn't want to leave because they're like, that's not my mommy or something. And she
This is where it all falls apart. Yeah. I mean, this was also fake. She's like, what, a full day of work? Oh, no, I don't get to leave early. What about my kids? Text, phone call, text, another patient. I'm going to have to listen to your back and see how you're breathing. Oh, my God, it's all too much. And then he says, when Scott's like, she won't even get in the car because it's not her mommy. Well, Miss Renee isn't her mommy either. So how would this make sense that she'll only be picked up by her mommy when Miss Renee is the problem by missing? None of this even makes sense.
I didn't feel like it was bullshit. I just didn't understand the narrative through line. Was it that the kids, they only want to get in the car with their mommy because they miss their mommy? Or is it that the kids don't know who their mommy is anymore, so they don't know who is their but the mommy wasn't picking them up, it was the daddy. I don't know, I was confused.
It didn't make any sense, but here's what did make sense. That kid has been raised by Miss Renee, and you can tell because she's a little effer and she screams and yells at everybody all the time and misbehaves and gives attitude over every little thing. Like, your dad shows up to pick you up and she's like, I won't get in the car with you. That's when you slap her on her ass and throw her in her car seat and then put a gag in her mouth when she starts screaming and crying, okay? Raise your children.
Meanwhile, in other exciting news, Toya's gonna bring some excitement back to Eugene. She's putting down rose petals
Because it's going to be like that movie with that girl who lies down on the rose petals and has sex with the neighbor.
What every man finds sexy, rose petals. Yeah, why would you think that a man is going to find that sexy? If you want to turn Eugene on, take those little packets of Parmesan cheese that come with the pizza delivery and sprinkle those all over the place.
Yeah, how about you reach into your big candy bowl and leave like a trail going up to the bedroom? You know, that's sexy.
Make him follow a path of Reese's Pieces, okay? That's how they got E.T. to get a hard-on in that movie.
Put a new, like, iPhone on the middle of the bed. That'll give him a hard-on. That's how you get a man a heart on.
Have a slip for a premium subscription to Pornhub just laying on the bed, okay? That'll get him, like, literally hurt.
Yeah, not the rose petals. Definitely not the rose petals.
Now, Toya, she's like, why are you always laughing when I do this for you? He's like, I'm not laughing. I'm just like, damn, you look like you want to dominate somebody. And then he goes upstairs and he's like, sex pillows. What? What is a sex pillow?
I don't know. I was just like my eyes were closed and I was like, just type what you hear, Ben. Don't look. Just type what you hear.
Well, this is why I used to watch The Walking Dead during dinner time, because it just made me not want to eat.
Yeah. It was a very unappetizing scene, that's for sure. It was just not sexy at all. And I felt bad for Eugene, especially for both of them, because basically this was the producer said, do this scene. It was like 3:30 p.m. She put candles out, these rose petals. She's walking around in this crazy negligee. He looks awkward as fuck. And she's like reaching for strawberries and whipped cream. And he's like, we're really doing this on camera. My parents watch this show. Yeah.
Well, at least she had some whipped cream. That's like the first time he actually probably started to get a boner. So she's like, you know, sometimes I wish Eugene would smack my ass and tap it hard and just grab my neck. And he's like, you want to be choked out? And she's like, yeah, sometimes I just want to be sitting on your face. And he's like, wow, this is 50 Shades of Black. People don't do that. Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go take a bath because I just got back from work and I just want to get cleaned up. She's like, yeah, go clean up. But if I'm dirty, it's okay, Eugene, right? In certain areas.
Yeah. He's like, dirty's okay. In a general sense, not butt sweat dirty. Okay, I'm gonna go hose down some butt sweat. Okay,
I spilled some marinara sauce on my hands earlier. I hope you don't mind that I didn't wash it off properly.
She can still smell it
a little bit.
She's like, "You want to make a video?" And he's like, no, never leave proof."
Except for the fact that you're being recorded right now on national TV.
Yes, yes, and he will not be coming out of that bathroom until the cameras are gone. Trust.
Nope. Absolutely not.
So now Quad and her husband, he comes in, he's like, hey, baby. And she's like, we will be having lamb chops and roasted asparagus today.
Gregory. Yeah, Chef Quad preparing for her cookbook. She has crowded her grill pan with all these anemic looking lamb chops. This is like the saddest display. You know, first of all, they're way too close to each other, right? So they're going to start steaming out. And they just are like these, I don't know where she got these lamb chops, but they were tiny and they all looked like shriveled and crazy. I was like, Quad, I don't know if this is your future.
And she's like trying to plug her book while at the same time trying to plug how bad her marriage is and her new marital focus group. It's too many things being plugged at one time. She's like, and roasted asparagus, babe, because our marital focus group is today and it's important. So I don't want people to not have food. And I'm like, okay, what am I feeling sorry for you for? Exactly. Please stay on topic.
Yeah. Did you get to see that? Did you notice the backsplash this time, Ronnie?
Yes, I did.
Finally. It's horrific, right? It's horrific.
It's bad, but you know, the reason I can't get on board with the backsplash hate is my personal backsplash is one of those huge sheet metal sheets from Home Depot that I screwed up there with the screw gun.
That's fine. At least I think sheet metal would look better than freaking brown and tan and teal all like smushed together. It drives me nuts. It looks like it's like the lamb chop that's been smeared on the wall there. So Dr. Gregory and Quad have started something called Marital Focus Group. That's actually the name of it. It's their brainchild because therapy hasn't worked for them. I'm like, that's a great ringing endorsement from a therapist. Great. So,
good point.
He's like, therapy doesn't work. Now, fighting in public is fun, so we're going to do that.
Yeah. So their friends come over, including Hot Mark, who we met last week. And they all gather around in the living room, and Quad is doing one of her usual bombastic speeches, like, "I have heretofore called you all here because we are all couples, and we feel certain, therefore, where within what's transpired of the elephants in the room have therefore, in and of itself, been of such a relationship, safe, space, honesty, within, wherein." And then Dr. Gregg gets a phone call, and then it's, you know, awkward.
Yeah, she's like, okay, we are definitely at a crossroads. And we'll wait for doctor to take his call. And you hear the patient, and he's like, we don't know if it's a patient or a worker, though, but you just hear someone like, "Hey, doctor, did you find a way to change that plug-in? Because the office stinks, and I can't figure it out. Could you maybe have your wife come over and do this for us?"
Yeah, exactly.
"My work is never done, the things I do for him."
So, yeah, so he comes back, and they're like,
"So what are you guys talking about?"
And they're basically like, "Well, you know, Quad was just saying how she feels like she's number two," and she's like, "I am okay. I have come to accept that Jill the Daffodil and I will be my number one because I am clearly number two to your patients." And he, you know, he's like,
No, you're my number one."
She's like, "No, we were just sitting here having an important moment for our marriage. This is important for our marriage, and you love to talk to patients. I'm number two." And so
he's like, "It hurts me to hear that she feels like number two, because number two is poo-poo. And she's not poo-poo, she's Quad. And I love Quad."
She's like, "You don't understand,
baby." Well, what he really says is,
"You know, it really hurts me to hear that Quad say she's my number two because I make sure that I'm working hard planning for us to have a stable future."
And I'm like, "You know what? What you should have said was, it hurts me to hear that Quad say she's my number two because I don't want to see her feel that way. I don't want her to hurt that way. I don't want her to think that because she's, you know, she's a wonderful person." Instead, he says, "You know, it hurts that she says number two because I'm working hard. I'm doing all the work to make her number one. She doesn't recognize that." It's like his response is very selfish.
I mean, kind of, but this whole thing is selfish. First of all, it's a focus group where no one else gets to talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like both of them get to perform for these poor people who are forced to sit over there for some anemic chops that we never even see. And then she starts going into this. Well, first of all, when he says,
"She's my number one and I'm trying to make a stable future."
And she's like, "Do you mean money? Listen, lady who just spent $150,000 on a car last week when she was mad. Yeah. Kinda. You kind of require a lot of money to keep going. Let's not pretend that's not part of it, at least."
Yeah, but she's probably earning more money than he is now. I mean, not that people on Married to Medicine earn that much money, but I'm sure she's getting from appearance fees, etc.
Maybe, but to pretend that it's not at all to do with money the week after she spent $150,000 on a car. I just think sometimes I like that they're talking this through on the show, actually, so I don't want to be too much of a hypocrite. But when she goes, she's so dramatic. And I love that she goes into this full monologue. She's like, "Money, I need to feel love. I need to feel protected. I need to feel..." And the guy's like, okay, Quad. That's enough.
Yeah, he's like,
And she's like,
He's like, "Listen, I'm hot. I don't have time to listen to this. Gregory,
this lamb chop is giving me diarrhea. So let's just cut to the point.
Let's move this along." Okay. You served us lamb chop tartare, and it's not sitting well with me. So Gregory's like, "I feel wiped out. I feel wiped out." I'm like, "What do you feel wiped out about? You were just playing golf."
Because he was saying that whole statement wiped me out. I'm like, "Jesus Christ." Because he has to listen to a monologue every time from her.
And she's like, you know, she starts saying, "I'm empty on the inside. I'm empty emotionally, Sean. I'm empty." And so Greg is doing this thing, which I think is kind of annoying. I get it, but I think it's annoying where he's like, "I want specificity. I want to know exactly what it is," which is You know that annoying thing when you're making an argument and someone was like, when? It's like, I didn't sit here and compile a laundry list. I didn't compile exhibit A, B, and C, or D. I don't have the
specifics. But she did. She did compile it. Because remember, he was like, why can't you just tell me what's wrong? And she's like, I have made a list. I shall go get it.
Oh, you're right. She did make that list and he walked out.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, so never mind.
He's just like, look, if you need something, tell me. I keep asking you what you need, and you start sobbing and doing monologues. It's like, what the fuck do you need? And the lady, the wife of hot guy, is like, I think what he's trying to say is that he needs you to pinpoint what you want, which is exactly what he said. And she's like, I want him to care. Love is not a monetary thing, baby.
And yet, somehow, this stemmed from this weird thing where, when they first got married, Gregory would not share anything. Everything that was his was just his, and he wouldn't share it. So I'm like, it's not about money, but then you're mad at him because he didn't share basically his money with you.
Well, he made a comment like, you're always trying to prove that you're not using me for my money. And it's not about that. And she's like, yeah, but then why is money a thing? And then he explains that money is a thing because he had to work his ass off to get money. And so he wasn't, you know, he was conscious of that and sharing and just like paying for a hot girlfriend or a hot wife or whatever. Because, of course, that's the trap that homely people can fall into. Just get someone that's hot and in return they have money. You know, it's not like it's like the oldest thing in the book, you know.
Yeah.
So that is what they're fighting about. And at least they're saying it out loud.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Mark weighs in and he's like, listen, Gregory, you fought for everything. She doesn't realize how much you fought for everything and you fought for her. And the problem is you guys just aren't friends anymore. And he, you know, Gregory says he understands that they're not friends anymore because he needs Quad to show him that she's not taking advantage of him at all. You know, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that, but you're the one who's starting your own practice probably based off of Quad's fame, okay? You're the one who's like, sitting here needing her to come change your Glade plugins, all right?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of feel like Gregory is the one taking advantage of Quad at this point, capitalizing off of her fame.
It seems like they both just don't give each other the emotional support they need, but they're also both the kind of people who will just yell back and forth at each other, which is also its own kind of romantic energy. So, I'm not really sure. I have no idea. Here's what I do know. They end up sobbing at each other, and no one else ever gets to talk.
Yeah.
The guy's like, okay, well, I guess the rest of us will have to drive home and fight amongst ourselves.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah,
thanks for the cold pork chop, or thanks for the cold lamb chop. Bye.
Yeah, yeah, because they basically just are, like, hugging and crying, and Quad's like, I feel alone in this marriage. I'm like a single married girl. How many plugins can I plug in?
And he's like, baby, without you, my office would smell like feet. Okay? I love you. I love the smells you bring to my office.
She's like, that's all I need, Gregory.
And Mark's like, now we're getting somewhere. Now here's my issue with Maria over here. Every time I come, I'm so sorry, hot Mark. I have to ask you to leave.
Time's up. So funny.
So funny. And that was pretty much the episode.
That was it, everybody.
Well,
Married to Medicine.
Married to Medicine. Nice to have it on the main show for at least a week or so. You know, people have been really wanting to hear it. People who have not been able to listen to bonus episodes, which are available on patreon.com. So we're happy for anyone who wasn't able to hear them before to give some Married to Medicine on the big show. We're going to be back tomorrow. Talk some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, will we not?
Yes, sir. We'll be back for the Beverly Hills Housewives.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones.
Yes. We'll talk to you then, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Rob Deering. This is Paul Tomkinson.
Good morning.
We are Running Commentary, or we create Running Commentary. It's our podcast.
We are, and we're very excited to be part of Bose Recommends.
We certainly are. Thank you, Bose. And listen to Running Commentary. As you can hear, hopefully hear, we record it while we're running.
That's it. We're talking about running, whilst running. for runners, but people listen to it when they're not running.
That's right, and we often talk about other things. I mean, it's not
we talk about everything.
It's life.
It's life stuff.
Yeah.
Bit of running advice, bit of life stuff. A few laughs, bit of slapstick.
Bit of fun.
Stop it, a bit of a story, why not?
Yeah.
So drinking.
It's the Running and Drinking podcast.
We've done 100 episodes and counting, haven't we?
Comes out every week, every Thursday. So listen to Running Commentary on your favourite podcast app, Acast, iTunes. Go for it.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favourite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose. Get closer.
Team GB's Elise Christie is clutching her Visa contactless card, about to take on the 10-metre hot drink dash.
This pair are faster than a jet plane through zero gravity, Jeff. Whoosh!
They certainly are well-matched. Elise is a triple world champion, and Visa contactless is rapid too. What a great team.
They've done it! Have you ever seen a coffee paid for quicker than that? Wonderful!
You need a latte fix quick? We help you pay in record time. Visa, proud sponsors of the Winter Olympics Pyeongchang 2018. Subject to bank T's and C's.